So this morning's reading is from Luke chapter 9, verses 1 to 6. And at the end of the reading, you'll have a chance just to share with your neighbour anything that might have stood out to you, or you've got questions about, or anything that surprised you. One day, Jesus called together his 12 disciples and gave them power and authority to cast out all demons and to heal all diseases. Then he sent them out to tell everyone about the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Take nothing for your journey, he instructed them. Don't take a walking stick, a traveler's bag, food, money, or even a change of clothes. Wherever you go, stay in the same house until you leave town. And if a town refuses to welcome you, shake its dust from your feet as you leave to show that you have abandoned those people to their fate. So they began their circuit of the villages, preaching the good news and healing the sick. Feel free to have a chat with your neighbour, and Caleb's going to be preaching after that.
Okay, awesome. Do people want to just call out what leapt out for them from the passage?
Abandoning people to their fate.
Yeah. This just can of worms. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah. He says, don't. Yeah, that's right. It's an utter reliance piece. Yeah. Yeah, Hayden.
It didn't say he gave them spirits, he gave them power and they somehow healed.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, this is pre-Pentecost. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Other thoughts?
We said to leave them and carry on. Mm. They're still in God's hands. And it's the same a little bit for us, that if we get stuck trying to convince people about Jesus, we sort of get hamstrung and we don't actually get to move on.
Yes. Yeah, that's the fate piece, eh? It's because the will is involved. I was actually talking, Leah was talking to me this morning, my middle child, and she said, "You can't make people love you, Daddy." And I said, "That's absolutely right." I said, "That's absolutely right." I said, "Why are you asking that?" She said, "Well, some of my friends sometimes want to play with me and sometimes they don't. But if they don't want to, they don't want to." And I said, "Yes, that's actually deeply true, Leah. And that's because somebody's will is their will." I mean, she's talking deep philosophy at that moment without knowing it for a four-year-old. Do you know what I mean? But that is deeply true. If somebody doesn't want something, they don't do it, or they don't get it, you know? And that's what's happening with the dusting off the feet. If you don't want it, well, I'll leave you to that choice. You get to choose that. God has made people to choose not him if they want to, because it's the only way that love exists. Yeah. Two more. Michael. Yes. Yes, he does. Yeah, and there's something incredible when we trust in God's provision and we rely on it, and then it turns up. Something happens in our faith. Something happens in our relationship with God because we've been provided for. But that wouldn't have happened if we didn't do that. Yeah.
Don't let the devil love Jesus.
Oh, sorry?
Don't love the devil but love Jesus.
That is deeply true. Don't love the devil but love Jesus. Yes, very. It's disastrous if you love the devil. Actually, utterly destructive. Yeah, yeah. It's not a laughing matter. It's deep. It's hugely profound. Yeah, yeah. Bob Dylan says you've got to serve someone. Yeah? You got a song in your head? It may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you still got to serve somebody. Yeah? Yeah. Okay, let me pray, and then we'll jump into some thoughts. Jesus, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you that there's such richness in it. And we ask that you would guide us this morning through your word. Remind us how good you are, how much you have for us, how loving you are, and how we can trust you. In Jesus' name, amen. We're in a sermon series at the moment on what does discipleship look like. And I kind of posed this thought the other day about this was a thought from a friend of mine who's a scholar, a biblical scholar in New Zealand, actually a very insightful man. And he wrote, he's written a couple of books, but one of them, in one of the chapters he was looking at, what is discipleship in the New Testament? And he poses this thing that actually there are those who follow what Jesus says closely, and then there are those who are kind of on the fringe. And he was kind of opening up the situation that there are followers of Jesus who intentionally follow Jesus, and there are followers of Jesus who kind of don't so much. And I said, I think that's actually deeply true. When you look in the New Testament, you see in the Gospels, there are those who give up their lives and follow him. There are those who choose to orientate their lives around his teachings. And there are those who kind of join in when it suits them. Yeah? And the same is true today. And what I said a couple of weeks ago was, you can do the same. Unfortunately, it's actually epidemic in the church that actually almost the whole church is in the second category. Yeah? Almost the whole church. We've got caught up in that in the last about 100 years. It's just descended and descended and descended and descended. And there have been moments of revival. And you can chart them. Yeah? You can spot them. As Nicky Gumbel says, you can spot when a Christian is filled with the Holy Spirit. They're just recognizable. There's something deep and beautiful about them. You can see it because they start engaging in the work of God. And those things change the course of the church. I'm not talking about numbers of people gathering, etc., though that does tend to follow, but not always. But what we're talking about here is that there are people who can come to church and be a Christian and not follow what Jesus teaches. I think most people accept that. The trouble is that that doesn't lead you to life in all of its fullness. You don't get the good stuff. It actually ends up being hard for you. And that's actually where most people leave. When the rubber hits the road or something difficult occurs, your faith is not deep. And it's really hard. Yeah? Whereas if you listen to what Jesus says and you organize your life around him, he says that you get life in all of its fullness. If you obey what he says, then when the storms of life hit, this is what we were looking at the obedience piece the other day, when the storms of life hit, it's like you've built yourself on rock. The rains still come, like they do for those who built on sand. The rains still come, the flood still rises, but the house on the rock stands firm. That's what it looks like. It's abundant and it's good. So you can be a Christian and not fully follow. You can. Jesus calls you foolish. Yeah? It's foolish. Now, here's the next point, okay? And this is, I really don't want this to be too challenging. I just want us to think deeply, okay? What it means to be a disciple is to do that, to listen to Jesus' teachings and follow him, to learn from Jesus how to live your life as if he were you. Yeah? To be a disciple means to learn from Jesus. It's a learner. Disciple literally means learner. So I'm learning from Jesus how to live his life if he was me, with my wife and my children and my job in my location, with my circumstances, with my wider family, with my body and what goes on in there. How would Jesus live my life? So I learn from him how to do that. Here's the catch, and this is the point I want you to hear deeply and through this sermon series, is that you will know if you're a follower of Jesus because you've chosen to follow him. It's not possible to sign up for a course at UCOL and go be an apprentice mechanic and not know. Yeah? It's not possible. It's not possible to be apprenticed as a plumber and not know that you're apprenticed as a plumber. It's not possible. Every day you're getting up and you're playing with wrenches and getting wet. Do you know what I mean? You know that that's the gig. And you know that you don't know everything. And you know that the guy who's in front of you or the lady that's in front of you is teaching you how to do plumbing or how to do electrical engineering or how to do... Do you know what I mean? That's what I was describing about the Spartan disciples back in ancient Greece. You could recognize them because they had the same phrases. That's what Plato was saying, yeah? Because a disciple knows that they're following. The mic drop moment here is that you should know if you're following. Because you've organized your life and you're saying, I need to know what Jesus would do in this. I've got this situation, I'm going to organize my life around him. If you're wondering whether you are or not, this isn't a judgment. I'm just saying you're not.
Okay? That's the key. This is the opportunity now. The invitation is, if you're wondering whether you're a disciple of Jesus, you can come and be one. You can devote your life to Jesus' teachings. I'm not just talking about doing a quiet time and doing my 20 minutes of stillness in the morning. I mean, you can do that without Jesus too. I'm talking about devoting your life to him, saying you're actually Lord of everything. What would Jesus do with my situation? With my auntie who's sick, or my, you know, child who's not sleeping through the night? What would they do? What would Jesus do during COVID? You know, what would he do in my situation? If you're asking those questions, if you're searching the scriptures for those answers, if you're rearranging your life around that, then you are a disciple. And that's what we want. Because if you do that, you get life in all of its abundance. All of its abundance. Even when the storm comes, the rain and everything. That's what we want. That's what we want to see. When you do that, you can recognize them. Yeah? Yeah. He does, yes. That's right. Yeah, absolutely, he does. That was just for those people on the live stream who didn't catch Robin's insight, was that Jesus does give you rest and he gives you resources. He absolutely does, because he's loving. He's not throwing you in and saying, come on, learn. He's actually working alongside you. Okay, so that's just kind of the, just a reminder again of this is what we're doing. And what we're looking at today in our sermon series is we're looking at that to be a disciple, it means that you are sent. You go out. Okay? For example, in Matthew chapter 28, which is the passage that we go back to lots and lots and lots because it's the Great Commission. It's the moment when Jesus commissions his disciples. He says, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name, immersing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the way of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey what I've commanded. And I'll be with you always. Even to the end of the age. That's the resources piece. Yeah? The phrase there, therefore go into all the world, actually is translated as you go. That's the best in the Greek. Okay? As you go. The reason it's as you go is it's anticipated that you are going. You're already going. So as you go into all the world, make disciples. Because there is no conception of a disciple that doesn't go. Doesn't exist in the New Testament. Yeah? When you dig through all of that stuff, it's expected that if you are a disciple, you go out. You are sent. You share the love. And that's what we see in this passage today in Luke chapter 9. If you've been hearing me preach before, then quite likely you've heard me do this little triplet that I think is really helpful, which is Luke 8 verse 1, Luke 9 verse 1, Luke 10 verse 1. Can you repeat that, please? Luke 8 verse 1, Luke 9 verse 1, Luke 10 verse 1. Okay, Luke 8 verse 1, what happens is Jesus gathers his 12. Okay, and then he goes out and preaches and ministers. Yeah? Let me just read it to you. Soon afterwards, he went on through the cities and villages, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him. Okay? They're not doing anything. They're just his kind of groupies. Okay? So he goes out and he teaches. And then Luke 9 verse 1, it says this. Then he gathered the 12 together, this was what we just heard Tim read out, and then he gives them power and authority. Okay? To go and do what they just saw him do. Does that make sense? This is the apprentice model. Okay? Luke 10 verse 1. After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and then sent them on ahead of him into every place to proclaim the good news of the kingdom and to have power to heal. Okay, Luke 8 verse 1, Luke 9 verse 1, Luke 10 verse 1. There is this image of the way that Jesus operated. Okay, Luke didn't write it like that, by the way. The numbers were put in later, but I'm really grateful for the editor who decided to put it like that because it's really helpful to remember. Okay, Jesus takes people with him. He trains them. He shows them how to use power. And then he invites you to do the same. Yeah, he's not asking you to do something you don't know. But he says, come close to me, watch me and learn from me how I live my life, how I exercise my power, how I know the Father, and then come and do the same. And then you go out and do the same. And then you go out and take other people to do the same. That's what it is. That's what discipleship looks like. But here's the catch. When I say you are to be sent, and that it's expected as a Christian for you to go out, most of us, including me, our mind gets populated with a bunch of anxieties. Agreed? Yeah? All sorts of anxieties. I'd love for you to confess them to your neighbor right now, please, and then we're going to call some of them out. Okay? What fears do we have about going out? Turn to your neighbor. What fears do you have about going out in the name of Jesus? Okay. Right, can we call some of them out, please? Rejection. Big fear, eh? Getting it wrong, yes.
How do I even start?
Yeah. Offending others? What did you say, sorry? Fakamah, yeah, Wakamah, yeah. Wakamah is like being embarrassed or kind of feeling, you know, less mana, you know, about it. Yeah.
Being asked a question you don't know the answer to.
Yeah.
Funding.
Or resources, really, eh? Yeah. So our own anxiety, but also engaging with others when we tap into their debts. Any more?
What if?
So there's like so many, because this touches all of us, eh? Yeah.
So what if it doesn't work? So for example,
yeah. Failing. Yeah. Yeah, that's tied to that one, eh?
That I'll impose my agenda rather than God.
Oh, yeah, that's a really good one. Yeah.
Well, it's not just a moment you want to be directed by God.
Yes. So, sorry, fear that...
Fear that may not be...
Yeah. Yeah, getting the right moment, eh? Vulnerability, yes. Oh, that's a good one, yeah. Yeah, it's good. Okay, we could go on, yes? And we'll probably bark around the same things, but in different words, yeah? There's all sorts of things that are going on here. Most of them are closely tied to the way that we have our characters. So if some of us like to get things right, then we're worried about getting things right. Yeah. If some of us like to achieve things, we're worried about failing. If some of us are worried about not knowing answers, that's because that's what we, you know, that's our deeply embedded narratives. You have one more.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say that failing thing that you step out.
Yeah. Yes.
You kind of feel like you've made it all worse and you've been a bad witness.
Yeah, yeah, being a bad witness, I think, is a lot of this is tied into here, being a bad witness. And particularly if you get emotional in there, if people are, antagonistic towards us, I'm sure that some of us have experienced that. I find it's a lot less often than we fear, but it does happen. I've had it multiple times. Yeah. I find the other one that's really hard is who we're going to.
Yeah?
Yeah? Like, it's really hard to do it to family, eh? To share Jesus to family, yeah. Yeah. That's a tough one. It's really hard to do it to people that you're going to see for a while longer. Do you know what I mean? Work colleagues, etc. You know, that's the burden, the pressure feels high, yeah? I'm going to speak to a couple of those things, but I just want to remind us that what we're talking about here is that Jesus is our teacher. Okay? So he actually has the answers to all of these questions. And it's not going to be a short, quick answer. It's going to only be found by going in close with him. If you want to learn how to go out, then you need to read and study the word and how Jesus does that. And you need to come and pour out your heart to him, your particular personality, your particular area of calling. And you bring that to him and you say, Jesus, how do I do that? Yeah? Strengthen me in how to do that. There are details that he will give you because he wants to. He wants you to flourish. He's more loving than you have ever imagined. Yeah? If you're worried about your kid or your grandkid, he's got resources for that. It doesn't mean it's going to work, because we talked earlier about will, yes? And in this passage that we read earlier, in Luke 9 verse 1, there were people who did not listen. Yes? Who did not respond. But we keep coming back to him, okay? He does have all of the resources. He wants to train us. I just remind you of that Hebrews 13:8, which so many of us love this verse, and many of us have it like written on our walls or have sung it in lots of ways, but Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, yeah? But we have to remember what that verse is attached to. Verse 7, remember your leaders, those who spoke the word of God to you, consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. For Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Yeah? What it's saying there is that discipleship, learning from someone else how to follow Jesus, means if you go, I don't know how to do this, then you need to find somebody who does. Because Jesus wants to work through them to you too. Yes? Yeah? That's why whenever we do some significant ministry in this parish, we're always gathering people who are older and wiser than Billy and I. Because we're in our 30s. What do we know? Do you know what I mean? Yeah, we get asked to praying through people's houses who've got demonic activity going on there. And whilst I've done that a few times now, I still always take Sue Terry. Okay? Because she knows more than I do. Does that make sense? Yeah. First time we did the Alpha course here, I got John Anderson to come on our Holy Spirit weekend. Because he knows how to do that in a way that I don't. Does that make sense? We need to learn from each other how to grow. If you're going, I don't know how to share this with my grandkid, find someone who has shared it with their grandkid. Maybe they failed. And they'll give you some hints of how not to fail. Do you know what I mean? Maybe you can pray together and learn together from Jesus how to do it in your context. How do we get sent out? How do we bless those around us? Yeah? A disciple means a learner, which requires humility. It requires you to go, I actually don't know as much as Tim Oliver, so I'm going to go to Tim and ask for his help. Yeah? That's necessary. I want to make a couple points which I think covers most of this, but it's really good just to put this out there because it reminds you you're not the only one. Yes? We don't have time to go through a response to all of these. I think Jesus will do that with you if you purposefully come to him. But I want to just take us to Mark chapter 1. In Mark chapter 1, in verse 32, what happens is Jesus is just, I mean, it's Mark 1. It's just the beginning of his ministry. He's just gone into the synagogue. Demonic powers just kicked off. He dealt with them. And then what happens, it says, that evening at sunset, they brought to him all who were sick and possessed with demons. And the whole church was gathered around the door. And he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. Verse 35, in the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place. And there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. And when they found him, they said to him, everyone is searching for you. I love this image, by the way. I love the disciples getting up. And I mean, basically, they've just got a crowd following them. And they look really good. because they're attached to Jesus, yeah? So they're all like, hey, let's find Jesus so we can do another crowd thing. And we look awesome, you know what I mean? I'm with this guy who just cured all these people. Do you know what I mean? They're like, can you imagine Peter's energy searching desperate to find Jesus? And they find him. They're like, where have you been? What are you doing? They're like, you know, here's an opportunity to go viral, okay? This is what they're desperate for, okay? And then what does he say? He says this. In verse 38, he answered, let us go on to the neighboring towns. Not this one, where there's a crowd following us. Let's go on to the neighboring towns, so that I may proclaim the message there also. For that is what I came to do. How did he know that? How did he know not to respond to the crowd at that moment, but to go off to the neighboring towns? Bang right, Ann Martin. Because he'd been praying. Yeah? In the early morning. Sorry.
I believe we would waste a lot less time listening and asking.
Yes.
Who do you want me to go to?
Yes.
What do you want me to say?
Yes. That is so good. And I'm just going to repeat that because it's so good. Is that we would save a lot of time, a lot of energy, and a lot of angst. I added the last one, but I think it's true. If we prayed to Jesus and said, who are you calling me to? And what are you calling me to say? Yes, he is preparing hearts. Yeah, he's preparing a way for us. He absolutely is. So, but the thing here is that Jesus has spent time with the Father. He's got up early in the morning and immersed himself in the Father. And he knows that at this moment, this isn't the feeding of the 5,000 moment. Yeah? He's not to be with this crowd. He's to go on to the neighboring towns. The call is, and the response of him being sent out is tied to his closeness to the Father. Now, there's two reasons why that is the case, okay? The first one is this, is that God is love, okay? God so loved the world, yeah? God so loved the world. And if you are to go out, you need to do so in love, yeah? It actually assuages most of our fears if we recognize that. Yeah? If I'm afraid of what I'm going to say, I'm afraid of rejection, I'm afraid of whether I'm going to push my agenda, etc. We go with love. We love them. We love them. We want them to experience life in abundance. We want to bless them with the power of the kingdom. That was the piece that Hayden was talking about earlier, that he didn't breathe the Holy Spirit on them, but somehow the kingdom was manifested amongst them in healing power, in casting out demons. You watch the end of, we've got 8 verse 1, 9 verse 1, 10 verse 1. When the 72 come back, they go skits because they go, Jesus, this is incredible. We prayed for people and they got healed. We spoke to demons and the demons fled. And Jesus gets so excited that he dances and sings in the Spirit. He's just overblown because suddenly what's happened is the power of God is made manifest. Because God is love and he wants to work through you. If you're afraid, remind yourself that God is love. If you're worried about what you're supposed to say, just immerse yourself in what God is doing. Immerse yourself in his love for you. Remember the fact that this is him. This is the second point I wanted to make from that, is that God is a God who sends. God is a God who goes. When you're being sent out, he's not asking you to do something that he hasn't already done. He's asking you to do it like him. That's what discipleship is. Learn from Jesus. He's the best model of being sent because he leaves the throne of heaven. He leaves all of that glory to be born in a secondhand stable, to be biffed off to another country as a refugee, to grow up and be disregarded by his own people. But he does it because God so loved the world that he sent his son. Yeah? If you're worried about going out, remind yourself how much God loves the people that you're going out to. Yeah? He loves them so much. Pray for them beforehand so much. God, you know, give me your heart for X. Give me your heart for these people. Give me your heart for this, that I could see how much you love them. And then show me how you would do that. Now, just a reminder again, this is not an add-on extra. There are not first-class Christians and second-class Christians.
okay? Those who do and those who don't. Really, really, really. Well, that is true. Sorry, I was making that point earlier. What I'm saying is, if you want life in abundance, if you want to be a disciple of Jesus, you've got to go. You've got to go out. Because that's what Jesus is like. If you're called to be like him, then you've got to go out. So if there's a barrier right now, and I can see it in a bunch of your bodies, you know, like, well, you're pushing me here. Well, I'm not. I'm just inviting you to do what Jesus did with his disciples. Yeah, you've got a barrier there. Take that barrier to Jesus. Don't hurl it back at me. Take it to Jesus. Yeah? Take it to him and say, Jesus, I've got this thing. I'm really anxious, or I'm really frustrated, or I feel like I'm too old, or I'm not skilled enough, or I don't have eloquence or words. Yeah? It's exactly what Moses said just before he was sent.
What if you're not getting the call to go anywhere at a certain time?
Yeah. That's a great question, Jordy. Yeah, nothing. There are times when doors get closed. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the Apostle Paul talks about that. They tried to go this direction, and it was a no. They tried to go this direction, it was a no. They tried to go this direction, it was a no. I don't know how that no came, but it was really clear to them that they had to go this way.
Are there times when you need to just sit?
Yeah, I think they're a lot rarer than we think. Yeah, a lot rarer than we think. But I do think they do occur. Because if the one that comes to mind is the moment where Jesus takes his disciples off on a retreat because they've been serving and they're actually really spent and they need a time of rest. And what happens is they get on a boat and go to the other side of the shore. Do you know who they meet? The 5,000. Yeah. That's Jesus' retreat just totally bumped. He's like, oh, I'm sorry, fellas. We're on duty again, yeah? And it says that his heartbroken compassion for them. And so then they served the 5,000 men, women, plus children, yeah? And they fed them all and ministered to them, yeah? And then Jesus sees that the disciples need a break, so he sends them out onto the boat. Do you know what happens next? The storm. Yeah, I think rest is vital. I do think rest is vital. I do think we get called on retreat, absolutely. I mean, Jesus invites us to do that every week, and he invites us to do it longer on retreat and reorientation. I mean, he's getting up every morning and praying deeply and intimately. But I think the orientation is, if our orientation is out, then we'll need to retreat appropriately. I think that's the way that it tends to be. Yeah. It's worth always asking the question, God, have I got something in the way here? If I'm not hearing you right, is that because I've got a resistance? Am I resisting it for some reason? And all of us do that in all sorts of different ways. Some of us resist because we don't like being told what to do, right? Yeah? You have to deal with that because that's called disobedience. It's disobedience. Scripture's very clear about what that's like. It actually says it's like witchcraft. It's as bad as witchcraft. If you disobey, that's what it's like. I'm not saying obey me, I'm saying Jesus, yeah? The invitation here is to step out into deep discipleship. You can disobey. He gives you a will, like Leah knows. You can't force somebody to do anything. But what is it that's getting in the way? Is my resistance my anxiety? Then Jesus, would you deal with my anxiety? Is my issue that I don't know what to say? Then give me the words. If my issue is that I'm not good enough, then help me be good enough. And let's gather with other people so that we can do it together. Did you notice that when he sent out his disciples and when he sends out the 72, they're sent out in pairs? I find that so helpful. So helpful. It's way more encouraging. Tabs is going to talk about this next week, about that we do discipleship together. You don't do this on your own. It's not on your shoulders. Does that make sense? Let me just summarize. We are called to go out. We're called to learn from him about what it looks like to share our faith, to proclaim the good news, to manifest the kingdom's power in healing, to manifest the kingdom's power in blessing and goodness. And let's pause for a moment and just think what that would look like. What would it look like for you to manifest his power in your context? How could his blessing work through you in your workplace, in your family? Lord, would you give us a vision for that? A vision for that. Come, Holy Spirit. God, would you ravage us with your love? Would you ravage us with your love that we would desire to go out, to share your love, to share your blessing? Woo us with what it looks like to follow you. Give us visions of it, Lord. And all of those resistances, would you come with your grace? Come with your grace upon mine. Come with your grace. Help us to learn from you. Please, Jesus. We want to see your kingdom come. Your will be done here on earth. Thank you, you do that through us. But please, Jesus, pour yourself out. More of you, Lord. More of you. More of you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Just a reminder that the prayer ministry is available after every service, and that'll be taking place over here. If you've got something in your heart that you're worried about on here, or something in your heart that got triggered by what I was sharing, or perhaps some people on your heart that you'd like to pray for, then grab some people to pray with. Because we were just talking there about the fact that Jesus knew what he was called to do because he immersed himself in prayer. So let's do that. Let's gather with other people and say, help me discern what I'm called to, or help me get over my anxiety or my resistance or my disobedience or whatever it is. Let's bring that before Jesus. He has got all the resources that we need. He's God.